thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Judgment upon ourselves, and God, actually, it grieves his heart to look down on mankind, his creation, and see us wandering in our darkness and stumbling and getting hurt and hurting other people. So I pray that you'll open up your heart here today as we just share around the simple story of Jesus coming and his birth. And we're going to do that right now. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a great time of worshiping together at this time of the year. I love this time of the year. We're going to go to the story that's found in Luke chapter 1, and it is the Christmas story. Of course, it's Christmas time. We're expected to come to church at Christmas time and hear something about the Christmas story. Matter of fact, it puts pressure on a pastor, especially if you've been telling the story for a lot of years and you're reading it again. And I have to tell you that it's the kind of pressure that says, God, how can I get anything new from this very simple story? But you know, God always comes through, because his word is alive and there's so many truths in his word that it'd take us more than a lifetime here to discover. So I encourage you to keep reading the stories of the Bible. Read the Bible. It's life-changing book or manuscripts that make up a book. But anyway, we're going to read it again in Luke chapter 1, at least this part of it. I want to share it with you. It's so central, as I said, to everything that we are all about, what God is all about. When you go back to what is called the Old Testament, the scriptures that were written prior to Jesus coming, there are hundreds of prophecies that talk about the future. But the central primary theme of the Old Testament prophecies is Jesus coming to this earth to fulfill what he needed to fulfill, to live his life, eventually go to a cross and die, and then be raised from the dead on the third day. It's central to everything. So not only did those in the Old Testament who served the Lord, that covenant of people, look to that event, but we today look back at that event, not just to reflect on a good story around Christmas time, but to reflect on all that was accomplished by Jesus Christ coming. We look to the cross. We will forever look to the cross. All of our life throughout eternity, we will be looking to Jesus, who will, as far as we know, have the nail prints in his hand, the wound in his side, the wounds in his head because of the crown of thorns, as a reminder that he paid a price to redeem us. It'll be a joyous time because we'll be rejoicing in the freedoms that we have. So let's look at it, and then we'll just share a couple little truths about it today that I think would be helpful. In Luke chapter 1, I'm going to read the first four verses. And Luke is writing down what he was personally an eyewitness of. Not necessarily the birth itself or the announcement of the birth, but he was eyewitness to Mary's life. He was eyewitness to the life of Jesus. He was eyewitness to many of the events that took place. And because of that, he wanted to make sure that something was written down that would be passed on from one generation to the next generation. He said, this is so impactful that someone's got to write it down. And you're going to see that unfold here in the first four verses. Look, he said, in as much as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. It seemed good to me, and also having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty, say certainty, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. I want to go down to verse 26. Verse 26 says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, Mary, I want to use this, what is a good visual, particularly now at Christmas time, this Christmas tree. And the Christmas tree, as you see, is decorated very nicely. In our house, Cheryl enjoys the Christmas tree. She enjoys decorating. Matter of fact, we have three of them. We have one in our family one, we have one in our hallway, we have one in our parlor. They're all done differently. The one in the family one is our traditional Christmas tree. But Cheryl's very meticulous. She's meticulous and literally spends hours. I don't know how she does it, but she spends hours decorating that tree. And I think it's just part of her time with herself and with the Lord as she does this. But every light she tries to get just evenly separated from one another, the ribbon where she wants the ribbon, and of course the Christmas bulbs where she's putting those. And when you look at it, there's an order to it. And I want us to look at the Christmas tree today, just a moment, kind of like what our life would like to be like. I think we would like for our lives to have some order to it. I don't think any one of us in here have a desire to have a disorderly life. We don't set out to do that, to have that kind of life. So a life that has order to it. Now, if you were to think about Mary's life, and or any one of us, Mary's life, think about this 12, 13-year-old girl. We don't know exactly how young she was, but she was young. She grows up in a small village named Nazareth. It's about 200 people in the whole village. Everybody knows everybody else. It's in the northern part of Israel. And she's growing up, and there's an expectation that after she finishes school, that she's probably going to get married rather quickly, get married young. Her marriage probably was prearranged. It was set up by the parents that knew of this man named Joseph, and Joseph would be a good man for you. We don't know much about Joseph, but we know that Mary did end up marrying Joseph. So this prearranged marriage was set up. They actually got engaged. Jewish tradition, they would get engaged, and they were almost, you could say that they were married, but they were just waiting for the ceremony that would take place 1 year later, married to one another. So she's expecting to get married. So if you were to look at these Christmas balls here, one of them could be that she grows up as a young girl, she goes to school, and then she's expecting to get married, and after she gets married, you would expect that she's going to have children, because that would be the next thing on the agenda. At the same time, Joseph would move into his profession, and he would provide for the house. The children would become the grandchildren, and everything in order, everything that you would expect to happen. Now, all of a sudden, her life is interrupted. How many know her life was interrupted a little bit? There have been 400 years of silence. 400 years of silence literally is between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And what we mean by years of silence is that God really wasn't speaking and the prophets weren't writing. It certainly wasn't silent in our world. One kingdom had come and another kingdom had gone. Just in the area, we had the Babylonians, we had the Persians, we had the Greeks, we have the Romans. And during the time when Mary and Joseph were there and when the story is told, the Romans occupy the world. and it's their kingdom that rules over the then known world. So things were happening in the world, but not so much God speaking in the prophet's writing. So all of a sudden, an angel appears, and she shows up, and she tells Mary all these things. We know that story. But what happened in all reality is that something came along that interrupted what we would call a life of order. And at first, you would see this random event took place. An angel appears, tells her that she's going to get pregnant. Now, here she is. She has to deal with that. She's got this thing. She's going to get pregnant. She's going to marry this guy named Joseph. She's going to have a son whose name is Jesus. He's going to be called the Son of God. He's going to rule. She goes back to reality. Think about this. The angel goes. As far as we know, Gabriel never shows back up and talks to Mary ever again. We don't have any record of it. He just tells her these things, and she's left to go back to what supposedly her life. But now there's something different about her life. She has to go back, and she has to explain to her mother, her father, her school teachers, her friends, why she's pregnant. Now, if you could just imagine with me for a moment. When she's doing this, I wonder if she's thinking something like this. Angel, you know, yeah, Angel, I think I remember your name, Gabriel, that told me I'm going to be, could you help me explain this to my mom? Could you help me share it with my math teacher and my friends? And by the way, Son of God, I'm having a hard time, Angel, saying it's going to be the Son of God and that he's going to rule in a kingdom. But I can almost imagine. So Mary has this thing. Where does she fit this thing into her life? How does it fit in? And that's really what life is about. We want somewhat of an order to our lives. I think we all set out thinking that this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. But then something happens. And before we know it, something unexpected that we go through, maybe we even make it to marriage, but then all of a sudden, divorce. Where does that fit in? Where do I place that? I didn't plan this. No one goes into a marriage planning to be divorced. Or let's just say a sickness. You're going along and you have this job, but this sickness hits you. You weren't expected to get sick. Matter, you might be young, and it's the kind of sickness that doesn't hit someone. Yeah, but then there's illness. How about job loss? And, of course, over the last 10, 15 years, that's something that's not unfamiliar to a lot of people. It's just 50 years ago, the expectation, an orderly life would be, you get a job, whether it be a factory, whether it be a business, whether it be some other profession, wherever it might be, and you just stay in that job. You are expected to stay there, and you're going to retire. That doesn't happen anymore. All of a sudden, you get what is called the pink slip, and you don't have a job anymore. So what do I do with that? How do I fit that in? Where am I going to place that? Well, that's a good question. And I think this is a question that if you can't come up with an answer, if you really can't begin to figure out that there is some place to put it, you won't have a life. It just kind of takes a spin, spiral, and you begin to go downhill. You begin to lose all purpose. You begin to lose all hope. You really don't have the motivation any longer where you started out with the motivation to set things in order and get on with your life. But the unexpected happens. You go along this journey and you hit a bump in the road. But more than just a bump in the road, a pothole. And how many know that potholes can do damage to your car? If you're from back east, the potholes are so big you have to shift gears to get out of them. It's just, you hit one of those babies, and I want to tell you, you're into the garage getting your car aligned again. Well, it happens to people in life. It just knocks you out of alignment. You don't know where to go. You didn't want it to be this way. It wasn't supposed to be this way. So then you begin to ask these big questions. Why, God? Why me? Why now? What about the promises? Here's Mary. Mary's going, angel, what was this I heard? Highly favored of God? And here we have Mary who's has to deal with her family, has to deal with her village, has to deal with her friends. But not only that, something else begins to happen. Joseph comes and says, Mary, I know things have been tough up to now, but I've got some more bad news. What is it? We've got to go to Bethlehem. But I'm pregnant. I know, but we got to go. And you got to ride a donkey all the way there. You know? So she has to get on. They travel, and it's quite a distance, maybe 120 miles. It's a long ways when you're pregnant. She has to travel there. She's going back to the city of David where Joseph is from. She gets there, and when she gets there, highly favored one, you know, going to be the mother of the Son of God, and there's no room for her to stay. And maybe she's an angel. I mean, couldn't you set up some kind of reservation for the mother of the Son of God? You know, doesn't it make sense? You know, all those things. Now, think about this. All these things that were promised to her, all these things that, even though it was an interruption in her life, it was kind of exciting things that were said to her. You know, I remember when the Lord first came into my life and begin to speak to my heart and begin to lead me. And there were all kind of promises that I welled up inside of my heart. Man, as I read the Bible, I read things like, you know, the Lord's going to be with me. He started a good work in me. He's going to continue to do that work. The Lord's going to go before me. He's going to make the crooked way straight. I mean, His Holy Spirit is going to lead me and guide me, and His favor is going to be upon me. How many know that that's the kind of thing we hear when we commit our heart to Christ? You are highly favored of God. You are blessed. He has delivered you from your darkness. He's brought you into His marvelous light. He set you on a path of righteousness, and there's nothing but good ahead of you, and all of a sudden, something hits you like that. You lose your job. Does that mean we're less favored now of God, or we get a divorce? Does that mean that God cares less about it? Has He abandoned His will for our life? Has He abandoned His purpose for our life? And yet it feels like it. It feels like it. So why God? Why me? Why now? Why couldn't it have been different? Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I mean, I don't know how my children are going to survive if I die, and on and on and on, and our lives are filled with questions. And I believe the Christmas story, if we really get the full impact of what it is here, we know that we know that we know that God can work all things out for good when you read the Christmas story. Because I don't think anything could have been any worse than what they seemingly were for Mary in her life, in the beginning of her life with a new husband, than they were. But yet, she's going to be one of the most famous women in all of the world. But look at it from when it was happening to her. You know, Cheryl and I stood up here, and thank you for honoring us 40 years. But I was thinking a lot as we approached this 40th anniversary. I'm thinking a lot about the years we spent together. And all the years we spent together, thankfully, it's been years that we've served the Lord together. It was because of us serving the Lord that we came together. And as we look back, I remember some of the things that God had promised us, and they were good things. But I want to tell you, there were bumps in the road. There were potholes in the road. There were times when there was no room in the inn. There were times when we had to run to Egypt. How about Mary having to run to Egypt? We got to run down to Egypt and hide? You know, there were times we did. And at those moments, you don't know exactly how it's going to work out. You don't know why it's happening this way. You've got it all figured out. God, it could have happened a different way. There could have been a little bit more order, Lord, to my life as a believer than to have all these things now have to be crowded into them. And yet when you look back, you marvel at the faithfulness of God. You are overwhelmed with this gratitude. There's something so fulfilling and rewarding in your heart today at our age. And after 40 years, we look back, I don't think there's enough time in eternity for us to give thanks to God how He directed our path through each and every one of them. He was faithful all the way. And He will be faithful to you. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you've come up against, you might not know what to do with it. You don't know where to put it. But I know God has some place to put it there. I did this last night too, so I just end up doing this. And that's why Cheryl keeps me from decorating the tree. George, what is this? Well, it kind of fit, you know? But isn't that the way it is sometimes? It ends up in your life, you know? Hopefully it stays. It's kind of one of those bing bong things that go all the way down to the bottom. If we hear a little crash, you know what it is. So whether you like it or not, there's a place in your life. For everything that happens, there would be a place in our life. I don't believe God will lead us to a place where He's not going to use it in some way. Now, I don't want to get into this big theological thing about, do you mean it's God who caused the divorce or it's God that caused this illness to come upon me? No. First of all, I don't believe those things. I believe that God is big enough to take whatever happens in our life and make it work for the good for our lives. That's the kind of God that we serve. We might not understand, but you know, here's the beauty of serving God. We're not going to understand it all. If we could understand it all, we would try to work it all out. We would try to go back here and we'd try to put some order into it. You know, and we'd want to hang it all the right way and put it there. But that's not life. You know that's not life. So God knowing that our frame is dust, God knowing that we're going to have these bumps, God knowing we're going to have these potholes, God knows how to work them all out in your life. And you know what? Many times it's because these interruptions come, that's the very things that bring it to Christ. I hear one testimony after another testimony. I would say, wouldn't it be nice if someone, and there are some people that just, you know, are just drawn and come to the Lord, but a majority of people are at the end of their rope. A majority of people are back against the wall. A majority of people, life is falling apart. I don't care how successful they are in the world. They're just, their life is falling apart, and they're finally come to the place where maybe God can get through to them. How many know that that ends up being a good thing? That ends up being a good thing. I came to the Lord. I wouldn't have had what I have here today. And it's like everything else, the Christmas story of all the stories give us hope that God can step down into the randomness of life, the meaninglessness of life, the purposefulness of life. I don't even know if that's a word, but it's out there. I think you understand what I'm saying. And it just the senseless things. I mean, and then God just stepped down and He made it all work out. And you see the beauty of His timing, which we don't have the time to go into all of that. Now, then to the very end. I mean, here's Mary finally maybe beginning to see how, wow, look at my son. He really did become a great teacher. He really did. I mean, look at people following Him. Those things the angel talked about. And she began to get some of the truths about the kingdom and what He meant in the very beginning. But what mother could really get a hold of the fact that she would have to stand someday and watch her son be dragged into the streets and beat? I mean, you don't get a hold of that. And then see him die on a cross. So all the promises at that time, and even with all watching all the faithfulness being carried out, there are times in your life when you'll hit something like that, and you just can't make sense out of it. So there was this thing that just, man, she had to watch that all happen. And yet, I don't know really where Mary was in all of it. I know she was sorrowful. It had to be tearing at her heart, breaking her heart, and everything like that. But then the resurrection. And then to see him raised from the dead and alive again. And that all that hope comes back in. And then the ascension. And here's Mary. She's there at the ascension. She's one of the 120 that are gathered in the upper room. Jesus ascends into heaven. And all of those promises and all of that life, that 33 years, she is just rejoicing. And now she's going out like the rest of the church and spreading this good news of hope that finds in Jesus Christ. I guess what can end up is that when it's all said and done, when God does work in your heart, you end up being a vessel that could be used of him in a powerful way to tell other people about his love. There's nobody that can talk to a mom that's hurting like another mom that was hurting at one time. There's no one that can talk to a brother who's been addicted like someone who has gone through it and been delivered from their addiction. And it's on and on and on and on, and God puts this beautifully together to where we see that seed, that Jesus that came to be light of the world to deliver us from darkness, that light is spread around the world, and today there are literally tens of thousands, millions of people have come to know Jesus Christ and to know his faithfulness to the very end. The Apostle Paul, 25 years later in Ephesians, he writes this in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, in him, speaking of Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the what? Purpose of him who works all things. Say all things.
All things.
Now, do you know what all things means?
Everything.
All things. It means all things. According to the counsel of his will. God will work out all things in your life. Faith. We've come to know, and it depends where you've grown up, but we've come to know faith as different things, and we describe it different ways. But we think, and I've thought, that maybe faith is when you can move God. Let me give you what I think is a better definition. I don't believe it's faith that moves God. Here's what I believe perfect faith is. Perfect faith is faith that moves us to trust God. Do you get that? We're always like, God, if you'll just move in this situation, you can change it, God. You can move this out, and I don't have to deal with it. God, I don't even have to put it on my tree. God, just deal with it. Let me put it back in the box. But we don't get to put it back in the box. You're left holding it. But you know what faith is? Perfect faith is moves us to trust God when he doesn't seem to be moving. God, I don't know how you're going to fit it in, but I trust that somehow you're going to fit it in my life. Somehow, this being without a job, going through this divorce, facing this sickness, facing this conflict, this wayward child that's gone away, Lord, that my heart breaks over, somehow, Lord, I'm trusting you that you're going to make it fit in my life. That's what the Christmas story is all about. I want you to stand for a moment. I want you to look up here, if you will. I believe probably all of us have something we don't know what to do with. All of us are holding something. And if you're not at this moment, maybe holding something you can identify. You have in the past and you will in the future. You're going to get something handed to you. And you're not going to know what to do with it. You would rather it not fit into your life. You would rather not have to deal with it. There are other things we go on to. You know, for Cheryl and I, a lot of times it would be us, Lord, there are other spiritual things we could be doing if we didn't have to deal with this problem. And probably the most spiritual thing that was happening in our life was the problem. How many know what I'm talking about? You like to get on. Lord, let us get on into really helping people. And God's saying, you know, I want to draw you to a new place with me. I want to do something in your life. I want to do something in your life that you think you have the wherewithal and the thing to really deal at the level where you're at. I'm going to take you to another level because I want you to deal with some other things. Right? God's always working with us, folks. Christmas story talks about God's love. Tremendous love for us. So much that he would give his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. If he would go to that extreme to give his life, don't you think he'll keep giving his life to you? Not just to bail you out. We're not looking for bailouts. We're looking for growth outs. I want to grow through this guy. I just don't want to be bailed out of this. God could easily bail you out of this. God could have easily showed up. The same angel that appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to have a baby could have been the same angel that went and dealt with Herod. Could have dealt with the innkeeper, and she could have stayed at the Ritz-Carlton. Come on. You wouldn't have to go to Egypt or anything. The same angel, but the same God that appeared to you can deal with anything in your life. But there's something about this relationship that God, he wants us to grow to a place of maturity and understanding him that is beyond our comprehension, that the beauty of heaven and eternity and the fellowship that all of this will bring us into with him outweighs everything else that maybe he only knows about right now. But how many know that's okay? Perfect faith is something that moves us to trust him. I want you to take that thing, whatever it is in your life. Maybe just close your eyes for a moment. Rachel's going to come back and sing a song about our Lord, and beautiful song as we close in just a moment. But whatever that thing is in your life, whatever it is, you can identify it. I don't have to even list them off to try to remind you. There's something in your life you're dealing with. Something in your life that it's not comfortable to deal with. You would rather rid yourself of it. And maybe it's not happening right now, but I ask you that you pray right now. Lord, give me the perfect faith that moves me to trust you in this situation and any situation that I'll come up against. Remind me of this Christmas story. Lord, let the revelation of this story that we're reading again in 2012, Lord, let this understanding be with me all through 2013. That no matter what I come up against, I know, Lord, that you saw Mary through, you saw Joseph through, your will was performed. It all worked out. And it will work out for me. Because I'm going to trust you, Father. In Jesus' name. Why don't you go ahead and be seated.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.